You guys are right. You guys are right. Ari, you were right. I'll tell you that right now. The staging the house worked. Well, I'm not going to say it worked because we haven't sold the house yet, but yeah, we're in business. The house is staged. I feel like I live in a dollhouse right now because like the furniture is clearly staging furniture. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's nice furniture, but it's clearly like nobody lives like this. The sofa is pointing that direction. The TV's over there. What's happening? And you know what? The people that did it, the people that staged it, wonderful people. Wonderful people. I should not have used whatever idiot part of my brain thought that this guy was going to have a beret with a pencil-thin mustache, maybe a sweater around his shoulders, tied, of course, the sleeves tied, not like on, he wasn't wearing, no. But great people, awesome people, really nice people. There you go. Like my friend Big Daddy Graham used to say about Armin Show, really nice people. Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is a little program we like to call the Farzy Show. It's presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Yes, if you're just listening to the podcast for the first time ever, I've been keeping everybody abreast of the situation with me and my family. Most likely moving in the next couple of months. Still in Philadelphia. Still in this, well, maybe the burbs. It's looking like the burbs. About 20 feet from the actual city line. Yee! The border. But anyway, so that's what's going on with me. But you know what? A lot of other people might be moving. Like baseball free agents. That's what you call a segue. You know what's funny? When you do travel. By the way, so we got baseball free agency to talk about today. Jalen Hurts wins the NFC Offensive Player of the Week again. We got that to get into. We got the Phillies making a Rule 5 draft selection. He is a starting pitcher. He is 25 years old. He at one point had a 99-mile-per-hour fastball. What? Yes. So we got that to get into today. And Tyrese Maxey. We'll talk a little bit about Tyrese Maxey today. Nick Sirianni gets a Super Bowl question in this press conference yesterday. Good Lord. And he also talks about the leadership of his football team and the diversity and the versatility of his quarterback, Jalen Hurts. All that in one show. Here's what's funny. You ever get into a conversation, sports fans, with somebody who is not at all a sports fan? As a matter of fact, somebody who just might have a disdain for sports. I just don't get it. You know, something like that. You ever have a conversation with somebody like that? You know what the first thing they usually bring up? Why do they make so much money? That's my non-sports fan voice. Why do they make so much money? Well, I'll tell you, because they can. All right. That's why I always tell those people it's because they can. It's the old joke. Why do dogs lick themselves? Because they can. All right. When it comes to baseball in particular, you ever talk to a football player about how much money a baseball player makes? Because when I worked with Trey Thomas, whenever a baseball contract came up, like Bryce Harper's, for instance, $330 million, Trey would go, so all of that is just guaranteed. Like, he gets that. Like, that's that. Like, he can't be cut. Like, it's not a front-loaded deal where they could cut him in a couple years or a back-loaded deal where they could cut him in, like, 2 years, you know? No, it's guaranteed money. And they're just like, wow, that's incredible. This money being thrown around is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Aaron Judge, $360 million over 9 years to remain with the New York Yankees. Xander Bogaerts, 11 years, $280 million to go to the Padres. Those deals got done yesterday. I saw the tweet where Gabe Kapler supposedly crossed the room at the winter meetings to be like, hey, congratulations, Aaron, and everyone else on being able to go out there and just get a deal done with your team. No hard feelings, compadre. I don't think that's what he said, but it was something along those lines. It's absolutely off the charts. Now, what really jumped out to me was, I don't know if you saw this, and it involved our boy, Trey Turner. The Padres, and I saw Bob Nightingale put this out. The Padres offered Trey Turner $342 million. He said, thanks, but no thanks. Came to Philadelphia to play with his boy, Bryce Harper, and, of course, play in front of you, the best fans in baseball. The Padres are just crazy spending money right now. You think about Manny Machado's deal. I mean, you can say the same thing about the Phillies. And I said the same thing about the Phillies when talking about John Middleton and the Buck Cousins just being like, whatever it takes, here's money to solve the problem. And hopefully that works out well for them. But baseball free agency is the time of year that I get I marvel at the money the most. Patrick Mahomes deal in football was kind of like, wow, you know, that kind of thing. Kyler Murray, wow, that kind of thing. But baseball is really what does it. And maybe when we look at Jalen Hurts' contract after this year, we'll also think to ourselves, wow, because the money that's out there for him right now is going to be bonkers. So a crazy day in baseball yesterday. And then the Phillies did add an arm. A Rule 5 draft was yesterday. The Phillies selected 25-year-old Noah Song, 6'4", starting pitcher. He was originally drafted by Dave Dombrowski in 2019 for the Boston Red Sox. The only thing, though, was that Noah Song was supposed to be, by the way, a first-round pick. He dropped to fourth because they weren't really sure about where he was going to go with his future. You know what he did with his future? He served in the Navy for 3 years. Military service. Military service. Now he's back. And hopefully he's going to pick up a baseball and be able to throw it at 99 miles per hour again. Maybe. We'll see if that happens. But Philly's got a Rule 5 guy. So you know the rules there. Be the back end of the rotation, most likely, as of right now. Compete for a spot, or they got to offer him back. I don't know how it works now because he had 3 years off. Usually it's like a guy like Ender Inciarte was a guy that I believe was drafted by the Braves. Phillies got him in the Rule 5 draft, had to keep him on the roster, and then had to keep him on the roster as a starter or send him back to the Braves. And they sent him back to the Braves. He ended up putting himself a nice career together for in center field for the Braves. And then, you know what happened? The Phillies got Odubel Herrera. I think everybody's favorite Rule Fiver, though, is Shane Victorino. I think it's without question everybody's favorite rule. And the name David Herndon jumps to mind whenever I think of the Rule 5 draft as well. But Shane obviously stayed on. Herndon stayed on as well. Ender Inciarte did not. Odubel Herrera did. Shane Victorino did. He won himself a World Series here in Philadelphia. So I'll keep you keeping a close eye on Noah Song, and seeing how he comes along. While he is getting back into baseball shape, I guess we could say. So that's what you got on the Phillies as of right now. Now let's move it on to football, because there's a lot to get into today, because there's a couple of things that went on at the press conference yesterday with both Jalen Hurts and with Nick Sirianni that kind of just had my mind in a little bit of a pretzel. And here's what I was thinking about. Nick Sirianni, and I think everybody to a man in that Eagles locker room, in the NovaCare complex entirely, is not talking about Super Bowl. We have an 11-1 team in Philadelphia, an 11-1 football team. We have an MVP candidate at quarterback. We got one of the top defenses, believe it or not, in all the NFL. That's pretty good. Turnover ratio has been great all year for the Eagles. They've had a couple of games here and there where it's been a little bit of concern, but for the most part, all season long, it's been pretty damn good. You know what we haven't talked about? The Super Bowl. At all. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. We were going back and forth, right? And that's how conversations go. But you know, we were going back and forth on texting. And he was like, I don't really know how to feel about this Eagles team. And I was like, what? What do you mean you don't know how to feel about this Eagles team? And he's just like, I don't know. I don't trust them. I'm like, you don't trust them for what? And it's like, well, you know, you got the Cowboys again. I'm like, don't even start with the Cowboys. Don't even start with the Cowboys. Eagles are a better football team than the Cowboys. We got into this yesterday with Mike Sielski about whether or not the Eagles could beat the Cowboys on Christmas Eve. Yes, the Eagles will. Eagles can. I'm not going to say they will now. I'm going to wait until we get into that week to officially see what happens for me, my official prediction. But the Eagles can beat the Cowboys. The Eagles, I know, are a better football team than the Cowboys. They're a more all-around, more complete team than the Dallas Cowboys. And they got a better quarterback. Yeah, I said it. Deal with it. Jalen Hurts right now, I said, right now is a great quarterback. In this isolated season, of all the quarterbacks, he is an elite quarterback. He is a great quarterback. Dak Prescott, and not so much. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to continue to go through this year. And I think it's not going to be real about the Eagles potentially making the Super Bowl until they get a first-round bye, if, in fact, they do lock up a first-round bye, which, in fact, I think they will lock up a first-round bye. Now, they can clinch the playoffs with a berth, clinch the playoff berth just by beating the Giants this weekend, which would be great, and it's going to happen. But after that, by the way, Jordan Renan of ESPN is going to join us. Giants beat writer is going to join us for tomorrow's show to talk all things Giants and see where the Eagles are catching them at this point in the season. But where I see this playing out, or how I see this playing out with the fans, is I think everyone knows how good this football team is, but it's still a matter of not believing it. Like, this is a Super Bowl contending team. Mike Golic was on with us last week, talked about that same thing. This is a Super Bowl contending team. Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl contending team. And I still feel like there's a large portion of the fan base that's just like, easy on that Super Bowl conversation. But this team is that good. What do you do when you have a solid defense? What do you do when you don't turn the football over and you have an MVP caliber quarterback? What happens next? Oh, and a solid receiving core. And I talked about the defense as a whole, but the two best corners in football. And by the way, James Bradbury is also going to play against his former team in the New York Giants this weekend. So maybe a little chip on his shoulder there just for extra added incentive. What do you do? Oh, and you're about to get Avante Maddox back, most likely for this game. Then after that, you're going to get Dallas Goedert back. That'd be fun. I'm not afraid to talk about this team as a Super Bowl contending team. I feel like it doesn't get mentioned. 11-1. I felt like when the Eagles were 7-0 with Terrell Owens and Donovan McNabb, all of us, everyone ever was the Super Bowl. This is it. This is what they needed. This is what they've done. Now, granted, they had been to three previous NFC Championship games and lost. Well, they won again without T.O. and they won. Talking about the year he was hurt and the year they ended up going to the Super Bowl anyway. And he came back for the Super Bowl. They made it through the playoffs and all that stuff. They made it to the Super Bowl and lost. And T.O., as we all know, was the best player on the field that day. I'm not afraid to talk about with this team because I think they are that good. But it's amazing to me that they could be this good 11-1 and they could have this quarterback and they could have this defense and they could have these guys ripping the football off and having this great turnover ratio. It's incredible. I look at it and I go, if this was any other team in the NFL, I'd go, wow, they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. But because we watch them every day, because it's our team, people think, oh, you're going to overhype because it's your team. Quite the opposite. We're more critical because we're watching every single play. I mean, can Jonathan Gannon really be a defensive coordinator, get a team in a Super Bowl? Well, yeah, he can because this team's pretty damn good. And his players are pretty damn good. And the production they've had, the results they've had, pretty damn good. Why are we afraid to start talking about a Super Bowl? Now, why am I talking about all this right now with the Eagles? Ahead of playing divisional games against the Giants, against the Cowboys, why am I even talking about it? Well, yesterday, if you could believe it, Nick Sirianni was asked the question in his press conference about the Super Bowl. Jeff McClain. I went back because you get emails from the Eagles with the transcript from the press conference, and I was reading through it. I like to read through it before I watch it. If I can't watch it live, I like to read through it first to see, hey, is there anything I need to jump to immediately to see what's what in the press conference yesterday. And I saw this question from Jeff McClain, who does a phenomenal job, and this is not a knock on Jeff even in the least bit, but I looked at it and I read the question, and it says, you haven't allowed yourself to peek ahead to the Super Bowl. You do have guys in the locker room that have won it. You brought in a couple guys who have won it, and you have a couple assistants maybe that have won it. How important is that? Do you ever ask those questions of what it's like to play that far ahead or to have the type of culture in the building? The culture in the building, I get. Bringing in guys or having guys that have won a Super Bowl, I get. But in terms of just putting the question out there about, hey, by the way, you ever think about the Super Bowl? Like, that's how I read that. I included the question. I included the answer. Here's the question and answer from Nick Sirianni, from Jeff McClain, when it came to the Super Bowl question from yesterday, so you guys could hear the full context.
You haven't allowed yourself before to peek ahead to Super Bowl, but you do have guys in the locker room that have won it, and you brought in a couple guys who have won it, and you have couple assistants maybe. How important is that, and do you ever kind of ask those questions of what it's like to be, you know, to play that far ahead or to have the type of culture in the building.
Yeah, not even a little bit. Am I thinking about that? Just is really all I will think I'm thinking about is this next game. Really, just how we get locked in to play this good football team that we're going to go out there and play.
That right there is the perfect answer. That right there is the perfect answer, and that's what you would assume. He went on to talk about how it is good to have that experience in the room, but doesn't think about it for a second. That's what started these wheels turning about. Hold on a second. Are we undervaluing an 11-1 football team? Because, I mean, you guys who have watched me, you guys have hung with me. Like, I am stoked. I am so excited about this football team. I mean, it really all starts with Jalen Hurts. How do you not root for that guy? How do you not root for a guy that has that work ethic, that has given that type of production on the field, that has shown that type of improvement, that has had a great attitude throughout the entire process of him being the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles? Did we hear anything from him about Carson Wentz when that was going? No, we didn't hear a peep. How about the following year? Carson's gone. Jalen's here. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Can the Eagles trade one of their possibly three first-round picks or all of them to bring in Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson? Jalen Hurts, I feel like truer words have never been spoken when it came to Jalen Hurts saying, I'm above it all. When he was asked about the noise, not the noise this year about, oh, how great is this team? You're so great. You're going to be amazing. The Super Bowl, right? Oh, that's rat poison. I ignore that. It's rat poison. No, not that. The stuff that he gets asked about whether or not he deserves his job. Whether or not, now that he has a job, he can keep the job. And Jalen Hurts right now is keeping that job for a long, long time. But before this season, it was all about, how quickly can the Eagles replace Jalen Hurts? That was really a lot of the talk before he even took a snap as the regular starter. Not when he went in for the final four games of the season in 2020. No. When he went in to last season as the Eagles starting quarterback, all he heard before that season started was, somebody knew with the Deshaun Watson's conversation get brought up, or Russell Wilson. I mean, at the combine this past year, Russell Wilson, the Eagles. Russell Wilson's like, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. Remember that? And then he signed with Denver. As recent as this year, the Eagles could have brought in Russell Wilson. Apparently, we're kicking the tires there. Really wanted him. He ends up choosing Denver. Jalen Hurts comes out here and completely dominates. It's a nice story. It's a great story for Jalen Hurts. How do you root against that guy? But, I mean, really, you talk about any Super Bowl run, you talk about this team winning or earning a number one seed in the NFC, it all starts with Jalen Hurts. Nick Sirianni, even if he is ever thinking about a Super Bowl, I don't think he's ever going to tell you. The experience, sure. Talking to coaches that have been there, talking to players that have been there, whether that be Brandon Graham or Fletcher Cox, or whether that be Ndamukong Suh, you know, whoever it might be, talking to guys like that. Doesn't allow himself to think that far ahead. And that's what got me thinking. Do we let ourselves think that far ahead? The conversation I was having with my buddy, one of the things is just like, I don't trust this team. I don't trust them. And I'm like, it's my overall thing was, who trusts anybody? In all honesty, the year before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, or excuse me, the playoff run, if you remember, leading up to that playoff run with Nick Foles, he had an awful game against the Raiders. He had an awful series or two against the Cowboys. He had the clock really started to look like it was striking midnight on Nick Foles. And I remember the press conference he had. I want to say it was the last game of the season. And Nick Foles said the word confident, I swear to you, 10, 15, maybe 20 times. I'm confident. I'm really confident. I'm still confident. We're all confident. I'm very confident in myself, and I'm confident in my abilities, and I'm confident that we can pull out of this. Like, it was like, all right, you're really trying to sell yourself on your confidence there, which immediately points to no confidence. And then he came out and was incredible. He had some luck on his side, of course. I'll never forget that. Was it Evan Neal, the throw off his knee in the start of the second half? What? But it's wild. It's absolutely wild to think about teams like that. And you go, wow, towards the end of that season, people were like, well, should Nate Sudfeld play in the playoffs? Because he played well against the Cowboys. It's like, what team do you really trust that hasn't done it? Even this Phillies team. Shot out of a cannon, all of a sudden they were in the World Series. What teams do you trust that haven't done it already? 07, I didn't trust the Phillies to make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. They got that monkey off their back. And the following year, they won the World Series. Nobody before that season was going, Phillies are going to win the World Series. It was never happening. The Phillies went and won the World Series. I've never experienced in my lifetime as a fan having a favorite team thinking, oh my God, they're going to win the World Series or they're going to win their championship, and then they go on and do it. And that doesn't happen. Even in 2009, I was like, after 2008, I was like, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Jimmy Rollins has said it in reports afterwards. I've talked to other players on the team. I'm like, I can't believe it was just one. We're supposed to win two or three, maybe. And that's what I thought, too. Even after you geared up with your starting pitching. Like, the Eagles are right now in a period where I don't know if people are just approaching it the way they normally do, which is they don't trust them until they actually do it. But I look at this team and I acknowledge the fact that they could very well do it. So when Jeff McClain put that quarter in the machine yesterday with Super Bowl conversation, I was like, you know what? This is reminding me of a conversation I just had. And I don't doubt it. I mean, I love this team. I absolutely love this team. I love this team for the talent that they have and what they are producing. And then they got the personalities. I mean, come on. Jason Kelce and Brandon Graham and Jalen Hurts, obviously. And I really like Devontae Smith is just as advertised. I mean, first off, he's as good as advertised. No question about that. But also the personality. I love the 10-second answers. I love Smitty at the podium. It's all great. A.J. Brown has been a blast. You guys know I love Avante Maddox. This team, how do you not love them? How do you not love them? Oh, a side note, they're 11-1. Nick Sirianni also yesterday was asked about Jalen Hurts and the game he had against the Titans. Prior to that, the game he had against, now I'm forgetting who it was. The great rushing game that they had, he was incredible. The different ways he can kill you, the different ways he can beat you. Nick Sirianni was asked about that yesterday at his press conference, and here he is talking about the offensive player of the week for the NFC, Jalen Hurts.
He's had two really good games in a row, and like you said, John, has been really different of how he's done that, right? And so, I don't think so. I know Phillip wasn't running for all those yards like that, and then, you know, you talk about the good quarterbacks that have been around. You know, Phillip was more of a pocket passer. Andrew was a little bit, you know, more of a pocket passer, but had the ability to move and get out of things. And you know, but those were two more pocket passers. Again, Andrew could do some of those things, but Jalen's just so dynamic as far as both of the things he's doing, right? With the be able to, I mean, how many guys, you guys would know the stats better than I would, like how many guys have actually thrown for that many yards after a game where they ran for that many yards, like close, you know, setting a team record in rushing yards, then coming out and doing it. I mean, so it's pretty special. And it's you know, obviously you love that as a coach to be able to, you know, be able to work it both ways. 'Cause you saw the effect it had on the defense without getting too much into it. Like there was a major effect. The way he ran the week before had a major effect on how the Titans played us. A major, major effect.
It must be pretty special just to have that weapon. And I know it invokes memories of the 80s with Randall Cunningham, but the ultimate weapon. When you have that kind of skill set and that kind of versatility in your game, and you're now, I mean, think about this. Every team is watching you the week before. Before they play you, they're watching your previous game. They're watching other games. You're watching your film, all that stuff. Watching throughout the season. Trying to get ready for you as much as possible. When you get to Jalen Hurts, what do you do? What do you do? If you're Wink Martindale right now and your entire week is thinking about what Jalen Hurts is going to do to that Giants defense and what you could do to him in order to, I don't know, slow him down, take away what he does well. Right now you're trying to crack the code that is Jalen Hurts. That's a difficult code to crack because of how versatile a player he is. And this isn't rocket science, but if you're Wink Martindale right now and you're sitting back and you're going, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What do I got? What do I got? How do I stop this? Okay. I know. All right. I'm going to continue the pressure because I'm one of the leading blitzing team, one of the leading pressure teams in the NFL. I'm going to pressure him. Well, what do you think the other coach in the room is telling him? The devil's advocate is telling him, well, you know, he's just going to scramble And by the time, if you do that, okay. I know. I got it. Okay. I'll have a quarterback spy. Like almost every team has done that, coach. I don't know if that's really going to work. Let me just keep thinking here. Okay. All right. Eight men in the box. Stop Miles Sanders. Stop Jalen Hurts. Make Jalen Hurts beat me with his arm. He can do that. Damn it. What do you do with that? How do you crack that code? Good luck there, fella. Good luck there, fella. Like I said, we're going to have Jordan Renan of ESPN on with us for tomorrow's show. And he's going to help us crack the code. That is Jalen Hurts and how Wink Martindale is approaching this game against this Eagles offense. So I look forward to speaking to Jordan about that. Now, it was the Packers, by the way. I'm a big fat idiot. Second week in a row, Jalen Hurts has been named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Jalen Hurts had 380 yards passing. He was 29 of 39 throwing the football. He threw for three touchdowns last week. He also ran for another. So Jalen Hurts, after a 380-yard performance, a four-touchdown performance, and getting your team's 11th win of the season in the most dominant game you guys have had from start to finish this year, how does it feel, Jalen Hurts, to be named for the second consecutive week, first Eagle to do that since Michael Vick in 2010? How does it feel to be the NFC Player of the Week back-to-back weeks? How's that feel? Get excited.
I mean, it's cool. I know it. You know, it comes with a lot of hard work. I definitely acknowledge that. But you know, I'm focused on the Giants. I'm focused on this week, and focused on preparing this week.
Okay, that's cool. Look, I'm not expecting the guy to do a cartwheel, but it's cool. It's like, when did he become a hockey player? Ooh, don't get me started on the Flyers. Ooh. When did he become a hockey player? You just work hard. It's cool. We would have to have good news about the Flyers in order to be excited about them, but we don't. How do you feel, Joe? It's cool. Thank you, Jalen. Appreciate you. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about this Eagles team coming up in the chat. Also, how about this? Basketball. Sixers back in action tomorrow night. Long layoff, so good for them. Enjoying their time off, I suppose. Yesterday, Tyrese Maxey, saw Kyle Newbeck put this out there. Tyrese Maxey had the boot off his foot, where he's got that little fracture. He also had his hair all froed out, my man, Pots and Pants. And wasn't practicing per se, but he was there on the floor yesterday. Definitely a good sign. Hopefully you get back, hopefully you get him back sooner rather than later. Sixers trying to clean up a three-game losing streak. They host the LA Lakers tomorrow night, 7:30 tip-off. By the way, the Boston Celtics are just on an absolute tear. That team is incredible. Jason Tatum is playing like an MVP right now. Just a little basketball news for you there. Let me tell you right now about my man Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right here in Philadelphia. For over 40 years, Steven has been in the love business of Philadelphia, helping people get engaged and cement their love for one another. And Steven has something new that he's doing for his customers. It's called the perfect price. You know when you got to make a big purchase, you feel like you got to negotiate, you feel like you got to haggle, you got to have that pressure on you? Hey, I'm trying to buy a house right now, by the way. That sucks. No fun. What if Steven Singer ran the world? Huh? Where everything was set at the perfect price. So you don't have to have that pressure. You don't have to worry about if somebody else is, going to spend less than you, get a better deal than you. At Steven Singer Jewelers, there's one place, one price. It's the perfect price, and everybody gets it. There's no promo code. There's no coupon. There's no Mo sent me. None of that. It's just the perfect price. Other jewelers like to mark things way up just to mark it down a little bit. Make you work for it. Make you negotiate for it. But Steven Singer, you're not going to worry about that pressure. You don't have to worry about if the person next to you is spending less than you are. Do they get some kind of better deal? No. And at Steven Singer, you're going to get treated like family by a real jewelry expert who's standing by at the ready to make sure that you are getting the best quality diamond and the most beautiful, dazzling diamond that you want. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price, the perfect price. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Let me tell you right now about the people at Manscaped and their Platinum Package 4.0. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and their skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. Go to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with promo code Farzy. That's manscaped.com, promo code Farzy. You can check out their Platinum Package 4.0 that includes their 4.0 lawnmower trimmer. Also, their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. And again, they come with skin-safe technology. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with promo code Farzy. How about Freestone Farm CBD? FreestoneFarmCBD.com. If you like CBD, if you use CBD, if you want to try a different CBD, jump on over to FreestoneFarmCBD.com where you can use promo code Farzy for 20% off your order. You'll be blown away by their strain menu. It is fantastic. Insane tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart topping 24.1%. And Super CBD, which is half Hindu, Kush, and 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. Doesn't get any better. And they grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State. Just one look or smell, it's enough to let you know it's CBD done right. And it's perfect for anyone looking to take a more natural approach to everything they put in their body. Once again, 20% off when you use promo code Farzy. That's 20% off with promo code Farzy at FreestoneFarmCBD.com. How about PHL Sports Nation? Philadelphia Sports Nation enhances your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs. That's PHLSportsNation.com. How about people at the Mojo app? Download the Mojo app to your phone right now and see what they have to offer. Over 300 skilled players in the NFL, from running backs to wide receivers to tight ends to quarterbacks. Each player has a share price attached to them, and they're treated like stock. They rise and fall. Think a rookie's about to break out? Think somebody is about to break out, have themselves a hell of a year? Boom! Pick them up. Buy low, sell high. That's the beauty on the Mojo app. Go to Mojo.com for more information, and also, download it to your phone, available on iOS, available in New Jersey, must be 21 or older, and present in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. That's the Mojo app. Check it out right there. Mojo.com for more information. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's get into the chat check, see how you beautiful people are doing on this fine, fine Thursday morning. It's going to be nice today here in the Philadelphia area. Kevin, good morning. Dan, good morning. Daniel. You missed your boy Mike Sielski yesterday. What the hell, man? No. April, good morning. Oh, dude. April, literally, next line. Dan, you missed Sielski yesterday. I threw out a Sielski sucks for you. Oh, I missed that, April. I'm sorry. Dan, question mark. Mikey, oh, yeah. I saw this. This is cool. Mikey Miss is doing a guest appearance on WIP. Would you do the same? Don't think that's happening. Let's see. That is cool. I just bumped into Mikey Miss on Sunday at Ocean Casino because I was down there for the Jacob Media pregame show, and he was coming in to do the postgame show. We literally crossed paths, caught up for a second. Good to see him. Mally, wait, WIP still exists? Yes, they very much still exist. Learn something new every day. How about that? Mally, I'm quoting Mally. That's Mally saying that, not me. Dan Schwartz, people worried about the Cowboys having an easy schedule before people worried about the Cowboys having an easy schedule before they bleep and play us. Have a tough time last two games after us. That's true. Dan Schwartz, Titans and Cowboys. Crap Card Hub. Ooh, I like this. First off, Crap Card Hub, I need to know this. How'd you get the name? Why is that your name? Do you have trading cards? Trading cards. You're a hub of trading cards? Let's just go with that. They say Eagles are the most disrespected 11-1 team. Yeah. I'll say this. Overlooked. I will say they're the most overlooked 11-1 team ever. They're playing a crap division. It's the best division in baseball. The best division in football this season. April San Juan Mally. Dan Schwartz. I think if Aaron Rodgers got one more enema, he would have had a better year. Yeah, that's probably true. Mally, Fox Sports 1 show, first things first. Nick Wright said he can't trust Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni in the postseason, but he can trust Dak and McCarthy? I don't agree with that. I mean, that doesn't seem... Mally, I didn't see that, and I don't watch that show. I catch a Nick Wright clip here and there on the old social medias, but I didn't see that. That's bonkers, Ben. Sorry, made himself forced to regurgitate. Dan Schwartz saying he made himself. Aaron Rodgers made himself regurgitate. There you go. John Cheeseborough, what's going on? Mihai, what's going on? Martin, Mark, everybody, Judge staying in the Bronx is most importantly Judge staying in the AL. The NL is deep, as is. Oh, yeah. Oh, the National League is as deep as it is. Yeah, I gotcha. Better for the Phillies. 1,000%. Wait, man, the Padres did all that just to lose to the Phillies in 6 or 5, like last year. SB Ricky. What's up, SB Ricky? Hurts season. Good morning, chat. Farzy, unbuttoned collar, goat. Drink it in, folks. Drink it in. I hate to keep running back to 2017 stories of disrespect, but it's feeling exactly the same. I'm trying to think, with that being said, we didn't really go Super Bowl hype, did we? With Carson Wentz still the quarterback? Were we thinking that far ahead? I know we were thinking MVP, but that's another thing. We were looking at Carson Wentz as if he was the MVP of the league. Jalen Hurts' numbers are actually better this season. And it's almost like if you talk about him as the MVP, it's like, shh, shh, stop that. You stop that. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. By the way, I saw the Pro Bowl voting, top five guys, and Jalen Hurts was not in there. Patrick Mahomes was, as would be expected. But no, Jalen Hurts is still going to have to prove a lot of people wrong. And not a lot of people want to do that, especially people that didn't draft him in the first round. Look at the way he's playing. He's first-round talent, 1,000%. And it's still amazing to me that they drafted him. Still amazing to me that they drafted Jalen Hurts after they signed Carson Wentz to that big contract. You don't do that. You don't do that. That's a stupid, awful philosophy. But it worked. It worked out to the Eagles' favor. That's for damn sure. Ba-ba-boop. Oh, okay, John. I think when they won 9 straight, we said Super Bowl wasn't out of the question, or we felt like it was a team of destiny. Okay, I'll go with you on that. Yeah. Because if I remember correctly, they lost that game to the Chiefs in 2017. And everyone was like, why didn't they run the football? They got LeGarrette Blount. You just hand the ball and run the football. They don't run the football. And then everybody in the locker room, I remember Zach Ertz being like, yeah, I think we definitely need more of a balanced attack. And you know what happened after that? Doug Peterson started to balance the attack. And you know what happened after that? They won 9 in a row. You know what happened after that? Carson Wentz got hurt. Well, a lot of people panicked. I still said they could make the Super Bowl when Carson Wentz went down because they had a great defense that year. And I knew Nick Foles could come in and win football games for you. So I didn't think the season was shot. I still thought they had a great shot at getting home field advantage in the postseason, which meant, oh, my God, you know what they might get? They might actually get a trip to the Super Bowl. I swear I said all that. Said all that at the time. Trying to pull that ear up. And the computer is not being kind. Yeah, they lost to Kansas City. Wow, that's right. They beat Washington the first week of the season. Went to KC. They lost 27 to 20. And then they rattled off 9 straight. And they only lost 2 more times for the rest of the season. Holy pots and pans. What a year that was. They wrapped up 13-3 for only the second time, I believe, in their history. Yeah. The 9-game winning streak. And they were talking about underdogs. What the hell? Oh, that's insane. Oh, they lost that game at Seattle. I was at that game. It was a Sunday night game. December 3rd, week 13, they lost 24-10. And then they go to Los Angeles. Wentz gets hurt. Foles comes in. Chris Long gets the sack, I remember. Really helped the Eagles out in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Oh, my God, what a year. But, yeah, up until that point, we were talking about Carson. We were talking about Carson Wentz as the MVP. I don't think we were talking about a Super Bowl run quite yet. But we were definitely talking about him being the MVP. And now with Jalen Hurts, it's like, shh, don't say MVP. It's a hot take if you say Jalen Hurts is the MVP. It's not a hot take. Just because you can't handle it doesn't make it a hot take. That loss to Seattle was frustrating. You're absolutely right. Sean Gillespie. Good morning, Sean. What's going on? Super Bowl wasn't in anyone's mind until the rout of the Vikings. Well, that was the NFC Championship game. You can't say. No one was thinking about the Super Bowl until they made the Super Bowl. And not wrong in some aspects. Absolutely unreal. Thanks to everybody in the chat. You guys are great, as per usual. Sean, nice to see you. What's going on? Oh, God. Oh, Daniel. Daniel, how dare you put that into the atmosphere? Would Minshew take us to a Super Bowl if Jalen... I'm not even going to say it. Minshew would road trip it out there to Arizona in his RV. Mostly. I thought he was trying to sell that RV. I don't know if he actually did, but I know he was trying to sell the RV. And was it Davion Taylor that was on this show that talked about Gardner Minshew's RV before it was a thing? Minshew lives in a van. You don't say. But anyway. Cheese, bro. Farzi, PJ, now you see why I put Dan in the corner? Sean Gillespie, damn you, Dan! All right, we're all kind. We're all kind to each other in the chat. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you guys. Let's get to the Morning Rush brought to you by Sky Motor Cars, skymotorcars.com. I saved them for last because they hurt my heart. Flyers lost again. This one 4-1 to the Capitals. Capitals getting 3 third-period goals. They went into that third period tied at a goal apiece. And the Washington Capitals were like, oh, we got this. And that was that. Travis Konecny got in a little shoving match with Alexander Ovechkin, which is always a welcome sight. At least they show some pop, some jam, some flair in that regard. But pretty much everything else was terrible. Pretty much everything else was terrible. And Travis Konecny after the game was the broken record. And he said this. He's tired of saying the same things. Feel like every single night they work their ass off and they're just not good enough. Basically, that's what it comes down to with the Flyers, and that's basically what Travis Konecny said last night. It's the same stuff every day. We want to win. We're trying to win. Trying our damnedest to win. Working our asses off to win. And we're not winning. That's very frustrating. So you pretty much, and this is me now, not him. You can pretty much take what I said over to the last game and insert it right here and just repeat it. Put the broken record on. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Flyers lost last night. Again, 4-1. next up for the Flyers. They visit the Golden Knights tomorrow night, 10 o'clock puck drop in Las Vegas for that game. So we'll see how that one shakes out. As I mentioned, the 76ers back at it tomorrow night after the 3-game road trip where they lost each game. 7:30 tip-off in South Philadelphia against the Lakers. The Lakers, 4 games under 500 so far this season, coming off a loss to the Cavs, if I'm not mistaken. LeBron James went back to... No, they lost back-to-back games. They lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Then they played again last night. They lost to the Toronto Raptors in Toronto, and this long road trip continues. 126-113, and they lost 116-102 to the Cleveland Cavaliers for back-to-back games. Sixers have lost 3 in a row. Good times had by all. That's where we're at right now with the 76ers, and hopefully we're going to get Tyrese Maxey back in the not-too-distant future. Hey, coming up, more of me. I'll be jumping on the Jacob Media YouTube channel with my friend Jeff Kerr, to talk all things Eagles, Giants, and where we stand right now. Pretty much everything I just talked to you guys about where the Philadelphia Eagles are right now this season. There's one more thing I wanted to get into with you guys, and it is baseball related. Yes, here it is. When I write down my notes and then I type my notes up, I get confused. I'm not like the other smart kids. I wanted to save this for the Morning Rush. And it does have to do with Trey Turner joining this lineup. And Taiwan Walker joining this rotation. And seeing if our boy Noah Song can join this rotation as well as a Rule Fiver. So all that we'll be following, of course. But this year, and it has to do with attendance, this year, do you think the buzz is officially back at Citizens Bank Park? Last year's attendance, not great. They're best in years. They're best in years, but still not great. Jimmy Rollins even tweeted out, like, hey, where are the sellouts? Like, they had, what, like three or four straight years of consecutive sellouts at Citizens Bank Park? That's pretty impressive. Is that going to return? And I know times are tough, and this isn't a berating. This isn't, where are the fans? That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm asking you if this is a year where you feel like you can invest in the Phillies, where you feel like you can go to games every single day, like as a fan base, do you feel like you can go to, like, I went to a game for the first time in years, thanks pandemic, of course. I went to a game for the first time in years at Citizens Bank Park, and I told you, I like bought like four beers, and it's like $100. Like, it's like, what the hell? Like, I can't imagine going there with my kids when they get to a certain age, and I take them to a ball game, and they want a hot dog, and they want the crab fries, and all that stuff, and you know, my wife and I want to get a drink, and all that stuff. Like, a family of four, that's a lot of money, and you're getting food, and you're buying food for, like, that's a big deal. So this isn't a berating. But are we at a point now where we have almost outpriced ourselves as fans? Or have we been outpriced, rather, where this is push coming to shove? Okay, well, you want $300 million contracts, you want $330 million contracts, you want all that stuff. We're going to end up paying for that. I know, oh, fans don't pay contracts. Yes, they do. By us giving a damn, that money exists. It's pretty direct. I don't care how you look at it in the cycle. Us paying money, us giving a damn, creates that market. We are the market, basically. So this year, with what the Phillies have done, coming off a World Series, adding Trey Turner, Bryce Harper back after the All-Star break at the latest, let's just say that, is this Phillies run going to be similar to that of 07, 08, 09, 2010, 2011, 2012? Like, is this Phillies run going to be similar to that in terms of fan base support? Are we selling out CBP every night? Is that where we are at? This is where I'd love to insert the prediction. But I truthfully bring this up to ask a question. I ask this question not out of protest, not out of, again, beratement of like, where are the fans? Not at all. I am curious. I'm asking you, the fan, are the Phillies now worth the price of admission? I know you guys will be at home watching. I know you guys are going to be at home cheering them on. I do not think Philadelphia, I've always argued against Philadelphia being a fair weather city when Jimmy Rollins said it all those years ago. I'm like, hold on a second. The Phillies just lost their 10,000th game and we're still here. Like, as a fan base, we still very much exist. The price of admission, though, is far different from interest from a fan base, far different. For instance, when the Phillies were bad and going through terrible runs, it wasn't like Philadelphia was like, I guess I'll just root for the Yankees now. No, that's not what we're doing. That's a fair weather fan. We're still very much here. Are the Phillies worth the price of admission right now? And here's the thing. I hope they are, because I want the ownership group to keep spending money. Because you know what? I really like World Series appearances. And I really like really good ball players playing for my baseball team. Are the Phillies right now worth the price of admission? Will this be a different year in terms of attendance for the Phillies? Will it skyrocket again? Will we go through whatever, however many sellouts it was consecutively? I asked that question to you, the Philadelphia Phillies fan. Thanks, everybody in the chat. You guys are great. Thanks, everyone on the watch. Thanks, everyone that listened. PJ, thank you. Jim Hyde approves the program. Did a wonderful job. This is a Buzz Sports Entertainment production. My name is Mark Farzetta. You guys, if you want more of me at 7:20, I'll hop on the Jacob Media YouTube channel. Talk to my friend Jeff Kerr about all things Eagles. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Jordan Renaud joins us tomorrow to talk Eagles-Giants matchup. Have a great day, everybody. Take it easy.